How many of you know we're on the cusp of revival? I'm not saying that. The Holy Ghost said that. And that gives me great encouragement. So don't be moved by what you see. Amen. Remember, there was over 400 years of silence by the prophets before John the Baptist announced the Christ was here. Well, I imagine it seemed pretty bleak, 400 and some odd years. And then Jesus comes on the scene. Hallelujah. Well, God's coming. That's what I keep hearing. I heard it this way. I'm coming. Now, I know he's already here. Don't write me no letters. But he also said he's coming with his presence that'll be so strong. People will hardly be able to stand or even leave the building. God is coming, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. You better get ready. Better enjoy these I don't know how many. It won't be long until everything about the services are completely different. And that's not by my plan or Tim's plan or anybody else's plan. I just know what I know. And because we're going to be too busy saving the lost, healing the sick, raising the dead. And so you better enjoy this teaching mode while we've got it. And because things are about to change. Okay? And I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? I already know you're okay with that. So, better enjoy these times when I say open up your Bibles too. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to have to do some review and then we're going to go a little farther today. I know the title of this one, Angie, and that Christ may dwell in your heart. That Christ may dwell in your heart. See, years ago, and people remember my stuff better than me, my teachings. Quite a few years ago now, I don't remember when, but the Lord told me that the answer is in Ephesians. You remember that? And nobody remembers that. I remember that because I taught on Ephesians for like a year. And what do you mean the answer? John 14:12. Those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also in greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We read that, we hear that, we preach that, and nobody walks in that. Not consistently. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, but that's not what he's talking about there. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But he told me the answer is in Ephesians. Well, I dove into Ephesians. I taught Ephesians. We dissected it verse by verse. Like virtually a year we taught out of Ephesians. And I never did say it, but I don't know about you. I was just really disappointed when that ended. Because I wasn't walking in John 14:12. And, of course, the devil says you missed it, But I don't know about you guys. I've just become expert at rebuking the devil. Shut up. That's how you do it. Shut up in Jesus' name. Shut up. Anyway. And you just keep praying in tongues and meditating the word and fasting anyway. No matter what he says. But see, Dave is so right when he says, we're always wanting roof questions. We want the answer to our roof questions, like John 14:12. Roof question, like, where's the power? And that was my question. And he told me Ephesians, but he didn't tell me I was ready for the answer. I thought I was. So I taught Ephesians. I was diligent. We got a lot of good things out of it. There's a lot of good things out of that series. But now he's taking me back into Ephesians, and I'm going, when was this put in here? Because Dave says, we want the answer to these roof questions. But he says, revelation knowledge is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's just exactly like building a rock wall. He says, like building a rock wall. And first you got to have foundation. So many people are asking the roof questions. They don't even really have a foundation yet. And then you got to have the walls built, and you got to have all of them, all the way around. Then you're maybe, getting ready for your roof questions, see? So I taught it as best I knew how. I understood best I knew how at the time. It's all good. You can get a lot of good things out of it, but it's not the answer that I'm after, see? So this time around, how many of you know you grow? You mature. Alan's been teaching fabulous messages on maturity. And, you grow and you mature. So we've had a lot of line on line, precept on precept since I taught that lesson, that series on Ephesians quite a few years ago. And now we're ready for some things that we weren't ready for then. And you are too. Okay? Now I'm going to preface this. And see, I'm doing my best to follow him. There's all kinds of stuff going on the inside. My job's not to ignore it. Okay? So he's reminding me right now of something this caught my attention years ago. When I say years ago, I probably read this 20 years ago. Maybe more, maybe 30 years ago. Something by John G. Lake that he wrote in his memoirs from Africa. And he said, I'm seeing a strange thing. Now, this was about 100 years ago that he wrote this. He said, because up until this time, everybody he had ever seen that got baptized in the Holy Ghost walked in power. Just right away, they walked in power, you know, just like Acts chapter 2. And he said, but I'm seeing a strange thing. I'm seeing people that they receive the Holy Ghost. They're able to speak with tongues and they can prophesy, but they can't manifest any power. And he just kind of mentioned that like, I don't understand that, you know. Well, thing of it is, you fast forward 100 years and we've got a whole charismatic church that can speak in tongues, prophesy. They can be used in the gifts. They're very much like the Corinthian church. It can be used in the gifts some, you know. As the Spirit wills. You know, you really can't trust babies with knives, right? We don't put knives in the nursery for babies to play with. You know, we're really proud, though, if one of those babies grows up to be a world-class surgeon and uses scalpels every day. There's different rules for kindergarten than there is for adults. See? Anyway, that's another whole deal. Well, we're growing up, hopefully, and he can trust us to manifest his power like he manifested it through Jesus. Okay. This is really, really review. So anyway, that question, that thing about John G. Lake just stuck with me, and because I recognized it to be so prevalent in the church today. What is the answer to that? You know, it almost, what? Seems strange. You can speak in tongues. You know, you got the Holy Ghost. Can't speak in tongues without him. And you can interpret, and there's some gifts of the Spirit once in a while, and we can prophesy, but where is the power? See? Well, if you haven't found Ephesians 3 by now, well, you can't look on with your neighbors because we're social distancing. So anyway, just let me read it to you. I'll just read it to you. Okay. I have fun with the bump, you know, the elbow bump. It's just fun. Anyway. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read this whole prayer. This is a famous, famous prayer of Paul. Starting in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now soon I'm going to be teaching on humility because I thought I knew what humility is and I didn't hardly even know what it is. But soon we'll be on humility. I'll give you a little preview. If Paul thought it was a good idea to bow his knees, how long has it been since you bowed yours? Holy Ghost asked me that. Now we're not going to get legalistic and require you to bow your knee every time you pray and put a doily on your head. No, it's an attitude of heart, it's an attitude of humility. When I think of Jesus praying, I think he prayed often on his knees. I really do. To the Father. He was the most humble man that ever lived. Hallelujah. Okay. See, I want to teach that today, and I can't teach that today, really. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're looking for our answer here about where is the power, okay? I'm talking in tongue talking, prophesying, spirit filled, washed in the blood of Jesus, baptized in water Christians. Okay? Where is it? So for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now notice that he would grant you, the Father would grant you. You look up the word grant, it means just what you think. He gives permission. Yes, I give this to you. Yes, I grant this. If you've heard of a government grant, well, you get stuff. If you get a grant, you get stuff, right? Well, I'm praying. I'm on my knees praying. And notice, this is to the church at Ephesus. That's really important. This is not to the fivefold. This is to the whole church. This is to Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, the whole church at Ephesus. That the Father, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Now notice, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, and that should be a capital S, in the inner man. And why do you know that it's a capital S? Because the inner man is your spirit. That's you. You and your soul together is the inner man. Isn't that right? Hello, there are actually people here. So there's an inner man. There's an outer man. There's an inner man. The inner man is you, the reborn child of God, you. And he's wanting you, that person, the born again child of God, to be strengthened with might. Well, how would that happen? By his spirit. Who's that? That's the Holy Ghost. Remember, we did a few weeks ago. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of the Father. Remember that? Okay. Now, wait just a cotton-picking doggone minute. If you look up that word might, it surprised me what it was. It's a very familiar word to us. It's dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. It's also translated virtue, same exact Greek word. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? And when she touched the hem of his garment, he felt virtue flow out of him. She felt it flow into her, and she knew she was healed. If you look up that, well, that's the same Greek word, dunamis. It's exactly the same Greek word. It's the same word Jesus used when he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That word power is dunamis. You shall receive dunamis after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, here's my question. Now, are these not born again, spirit filled people? Are they? Are they not? See, that's a good question. So go to Acts 19. And you're going to see the beginning of the real church at Ephesus. Now, there was believers there, but they were John the Baptist believers. They weren't the... They had not yet been born again. They were disciples of John the Baptist. And we can show that from Scripture. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now see, when we read that word disciples, we automatically think they're Christ disciples. But they're not. They're John the Baptist disciples. I'll tell you plainly here in just a little bit. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, well, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, here it is, unto John's baptism. John's baptism. Now, if you back up in the previous chapter, you're going to see that Apollos was, in fact, let's just read it so you don't have to take my word for it. Yes, sir, I will slow down. Yes, okay. Back up to verse 24 of 18. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now, boy, if you underline, knowing only the baptism of John. So here the teacher is a disciple of John, and the students at Ephesus at that time were disciples of John. Can you see that? That's all they knew. They didn't know anymore. They must have been fairly early when they heard John preach, because if they'd have heard a lot of what he preached, John said, the one coming after me, he is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. But they've not so much as heard there be any Holy Ghost. So they couldn't have heard that. So they must have heard the early part of John's preaching when he come out of the wilderness and repent, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And his main message was repentance. That's what they heard. They were baptized unto repentance, and now they've gone on to Ephesus, and Apollos is teaching, and their disciples. But this is the beginning of the Christian church. See, let me finish with Apollos so you get this more, you understand for sure. Verse 25, at right at the end, knowing only the baptism of John. At that moment, that's all Apollos the teacher knew. And at that moment, that's all these 12 men knew. Okay? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They explained to him the rest of John's message. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, that's Corinth, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he had come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But notice he didn't do that until after he was instructed by the way, a woman and her husband. I like that. Priscilla and Aquila. I like that. Okay. Well, now, Paul, so Apollos, he's gone to Corinth to preach, and Apollos, he's coming to Ephesus, and he finds this bunch. And he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We've not even so much as heard that there be any Holy Ghost. Well, what were you baptized to? And they said, well, John's baptism. Now pick it up again in verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. And see, that's all they knew. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. Now we have a summary here. I'm sure he preached Christ and him crucified to them right there. A lot more words than we have. This is a summary. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In plain modern day talk, they got saved. They got born again. Paul preached the gospel. He preached Christ to them. Oh, okay. We received that. And they were baptized. And they're now they're Christians. But then notice, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Now notice, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. We don't know how many women and children are there. Okay, or in the families. This is the beginning of the real Christian church at Ephesus. This is the beginning of it. Now years later, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. But I wanted you to see if the foundation started off baptized believers in the name of Jesus, baptized in water in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues and prophesying. Don't you know that pretty well describes that church? Because they would have taught everybody else as that came into the church. So Paul is writing to a church that sounds very much like our modern charismatic church today. They've been born again, genuinely born again. They love God. They've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They can speak with tongues and they can prophesy. Hallelujah. Sounds like a good church to me. Yet Paul is praying for them, which sounds almost like the explaining John G. Lake's question. Because he's for, or back to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. He is praying for them, for this bunch, for this Ephesian church. And now there's a whole, lots of them, okay? It's a big church. That God would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with dunamis, might, power, by the Holy Spirit. That should be, that's a good one, capital S. It should be capital S. By his Spirit in the inner man. I'm going to tell you again, that inner man is you. That is the born again you. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but see, that describes perfectly what Jesus prayed in John 17. Father, I in them. Well, that's when you get born again, isn't it? I in them and thou in me. How is thou in me? Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father. Okay. But now, verse 17. Now, this was that was all review. Here we go. You ready? Buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. All right. 17. I'm having a good time. I hope you are. Well, why are you praying all that, Paul? Verse 17. Oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Stop. What? Didn't we just read that Paul preached Christ to them? They got saved. By the way, hold your place there. Let me go into Romans 8. These people are born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying believers. And Paul is praying that they be strengthened with might by the Father's Spirit in the inner man. Well, why are you praying that, Paul? So that Christ would dwell in you by faith? Did you find Romans 8? But look at verse 9. What I'm after is the last sentence, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now notice this. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Flip back over. I'm praying this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Wouldn't you say, I'm born again, Christ already dwells in my heart by faith. Wouldn't you? But Paul, you do know that Paul wrote both of these, Romans. I mean, he thinks Paul's confused. I don't think Paul's confused. In Romans 8, he says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not even born again. Plain English. You're not even born again. Yet over here, he's for these very people, he's praying that they be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in their inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in their heart by faith. Boy, I'm telling you, if that doesn't send you off praying in other tongues and, you know, what in the world, you know? Well, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What in the world, Paul? Well, you got to leave it all in its setting. See, he's not saying they're not born again. See, that word Christ, we tend to think that it's Jesus' last name because we use it all the time, Jesus Christ. But it means Jesus the Messiah. And that means Jesus the Anointed One. See, back there in Romans 8, thank God for Pastor Dave who broke down Romans 8 for us all those decades ago and just kept preaching it lovingly and relentlessly, though. Again and again, you know, for years. I mean, how many Bibles have we worn out? You just set it and let it fall open. It falls open to Romans 8, you know. Thank God that he taught us verses 1 through 15 are talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's, we would commonly say, the new nature. It's talking about the Spirit of life that you received when you got born again. That's why when he starts talking about the Holy Ghost, he says the Holy Ghost also helps. Your first help is that Spirit of life that comes in you when you get born again. And it, by its very nature, has the power to cause you to walk above sin. That's how Jesus walked above sin for 30 years before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's the life that Jesus was prophesying about in John 8:12 when he says, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Why? For they shall have the light of life. And that's what verses 1 through 15 is talking about. And if you don't have that light of life, you're not born again. You either have it or you don't have it. You know, now not everybody's walking in the power of it, but you have it or you're not even born again. That's what he's saying here. So Paul is not, he's not coming against that, that you don't have that law of life on the inside of you. Paul, the subject matter here is dunamis, not life. You got that? He's praying not that they'd have life. He knows they're born again. He's praying they have power. Whoa, I'm interested in this prayer. This might be the answer to John G. Lake's question. You mean we had a church how long ago was this written? 2,000 years ago. We had a church that was born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying, but they wasn't walking in power? Mm-hmm. This isn't nothing new. That's why Paul is writing, I'm praying, I'm on my knees praying, that the Father would strengthen you with dunamis. Now that's dynamite, miracle, work, and power. Please go back and listen to the last three or four lessons I did at from the pandemic room at my house. The third bedroom of our house. Used to be the kids' room, now it's our studio. Yeah. What does that mean? We put up a black curtain where I could do videos. Anyway. Studio sounds so good, doesn't it? Anyway. Hallelujah. Tell you can reach around the world with your phone, people. It's amazing the time that we live in. It's amazing. I think Paul would slap each and every one of us right across the face in love. You've got this technology and you haven't got the whole world saved. What's wrong with you? Well, we are going to get the world saved. The vast majority, we're going to get a lot of them anyway. A lot of them. I think the greatest, I guess I got the undo to my thing. See, I believe there's going to be more people born again between now and his return than have already been born again in all of history put together. And that's a lot of folks. I really do believe it. This revival is going to harvest like nothing that's ever been seen. And it's going to last until his return. Hallelujah. Okay. So what does he mean in 17 when he says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith? Let's just stop right there for a moment. What? I'm already born again, Paul. What do you mean? He's talking about the anointed one. Not just that you have his life. Thank God we do have his life. I don't mean to belittle that. Thank God we have that life that empowers us to walk above sin. But he's praying something else. All right, you've got that. Now I'm praying he be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Christ in you and the Father, the Holy Spirit, in him is what he's talking about here. See, when Christ, the anointed one, dwells in your heart by faith, there's a whole different perspective. The church has been struggling just to have enough faith to walk above sin. When I say struggling, I mean struggling. This is going way beyond. They're like, let's get out of kindergarten. Come on. He says, I've not called you just to walk above sin. I've called you to walk above the world. I've called you to walk like he walked. Remember? The disciple is not above his master, but he should be as his master. We should walk as he walked. Well, how did he walk? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. That's Christ. That Christ, that one. Not only his life, but his anointing. That Christ, the anointed one, dwell in your heart by faith. When you walk in a room, you know the anointed one dwells in your heart by faith. Brother and sister, that is revival right there. That is revival right there. That's dunamis. That's when you've been strengthened. And Paul says it's something we need to seek after. It's something he's praying for. It's not automatic. I did a message a couple of weeks ago. This might is not automatic. If it was, Paul wouldn't need to pray it. Isn't that right? It's not automatic. Wait till you hear what he's showing. I am miles ahead of these lessons. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we will. Something I thought I totally understood, ask and you shall receive. I mean, you know, you'd think by now we'd understand that. But you know, he coupled that up with seeking and knocking. There's a reason. There's a reason. If you want to get a head start, start meditating Luke 11. Just assimilate it again and again and again. Pray in tongues, you rascal. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, if we get strengthened with dunamis by the Holy Spirit in our inner man, then everywhere we go, we know the Anointed One lives in me. And Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in his own body then, he's doing in his own body now. But his own body now is my body and your body. That's if he can ever get us to do Romans 12:1, which is present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. A few weeks ago, remember when he's laying that foundation? He says, well, what if I present it to him unholy? It's not acceptable. If words mean anything, it's not acceptable. You're not humble yet. Boy, I want to get into humble so bad. Okay, preview. You want to see the definition of humble? It's Romans 8:14. This is the definition of humble. I never knew this. Gary, when did you know this? How many years ago did you know this? Yesterday. Yesterday I knew this. This is exactly how Jesus walked. For as many, and it should be a little S now, for as many as are led by the little S, the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, I know the Spirit, the new nature in me told me, don't go to that movie. What'd you do? I went to the movie. You're not humble yet. You're not humble yet. See, again, I got to brag on our pastor. Years ago, that vision that he saw of the whole earth covered by that band of darkness. And every now and then he'd see somebody pray until they got their hand up beyond. It was like the whole world was enveloped in this dark cloud thing. But every now and then somebody would pray to the point they'd get their hand. You could see their hand poke through that darkness and it would begin to glow. And they said those, when they laid their hands on the sick, they'd recover. Every now and then you see somebody maybe get their whole head pushed up through that cloud of darkness. And their head would begin to glow. And when they would teach, it was the very oracles of God. But he said, every now and then, just once in a while, you see somebody get all the way. They get their whole body pressed through that. And their whole body began to glow. And then when they'd come back to earth, he said, that's your revivalist. When every 100 years was only a handful usually. That's your Smith Wigglesworths and your John G. Lakes. And man, revival would break out everywhere they went. So Dave's watching that vision, you know, and he'd tell us. I said, that black band. He said, that black band, that cloud, that's the devil. And the Holy Ghost said, no, that's your flesh. Now, again, all right, I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm going to talk about me and not you. If you haven't met your flesh during this pandemic, trying to keep up with the prayer, just the prayer schedule. See, it's one thing, I'll be honest, it's a whole lot easier to do the prayer times that were set out when we could meet at the church and kind of come together. It was a lot easier, you know. And, you know, we all know what the time, and there's nothing legalistic, it's just the times that were set. But Wednesday, 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock, Friday, noon till 10 o'clock, and Saturday morning, 7 o'clock till noon. And, you know, we'd all like to think, I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep that same schedule. I'm going to keep on praying because I know the prophecies, the blueprint for 2020. And being the man of God that I am, I'm going to. And then all of a sudden Thursday comes and you went, I never even thought of it. Never occurred to me one time. Oh, I'll make it up today. Then Friday comes. I got in a lot of the prayer, but I got to tell you, I was astounded. I surprised myself because I'm usually a pretty diligent person. I surprised myself how many prayer times I missed. And it's amazing how, it's not off doing wicked stuff. The flesh will do anything rather than have you sit and pray. Anything. Or worship or be in the Word, you know. Teach, minister, write, so many things. All good things. But is that what he said in the blueprint for 2020? No, it's not what he said. He said, pray, you outfit. He also said, for a year. Not during just first 3-4 months. Or six, we're not even halfway through the year yet. For a year, give me this year like you've never given to prayer before. So I'll just tell you, yesterday I was fed up with myself. And I made an amazing discovery. I'm holding up my iPhone for those that are listening by MP3 and can't see me. There is a button on the side that if you press it long enough, this goes off. Yeah. And I mean, not only will it not ring, I mean, silence it is one thing, but you can still hear that buzz. Don't tell me you can't hear that buzz. I know. And you go, what is that? I'll just take a second. I'll be right back, Lord. Get involved in there 2 hours later. They said, what? Anyway. So I've made up my mind yesterday. I said, no, 7 o'clock to noon. I'm doing it. Off. And you know, I'm telling you, my flesh threw a hissy fit. I thought of 1,000 things to do. And I mean good things, all of them good. You know, oh, I promised to get back with so-and-so. I should get back. No, sit here and pray. No, I needed to finish up that teaching. I needed to write that. Nope. You do that later. Make a note. You do that later. Sit here and pray. And by the way, don't eat anything. Oh. What? What? When I was a little boy, I saw this cartoon at my grandfather Carpenter's house. I didn't know how prophetic it was. I can't even remember the name of the cartoon now. It was famous back at the time. Anyway, this character comes in. He says, I have met the enemy, and he is us. Pogo. That was the name of it. Pogo was that cartoon. I have met the enemy, and he is us. I'm telling you, the real enemy for us is not the devil. It is your flesh. You need to know that. That's why I understand so clearly why God had Dave lovingly, I like this phrase, but relentlessly teach us about mortification of the flesh, and that is only done by the little S spirit. It's done by the little S spirit. Now you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. But that first level of power, that's why you got to be led by that Spirit first. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. But you can't not go see that movie. And that's just one of 1,000 things, you know, that your new nature condemns. When I was a child... I thought as a child, I understood as a child, and I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We're becoming men and women of God. Time to put away childish things. I'm telling you, bowing the knee for a season, I believe is very good for us. And I know for Gary personally, it's important. Now, my 73-year-old knees don't like bowing. I'll just tell you right now. But I've spent a part of my day now, I don't mean a long time, but I'll spend the first part, I bow. It does something in my heart. And if Paul thinks it's good to bow, then it's bow. Now, I'm not getting legalistic. I don't bow all the time. Most of the time, I'm walking and praying, to tell you the truth of it. I walk and pray, or I sit and pray. But it's important. Wait till we get into this humility thing. Anyway. All right. Back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. I think we're getting the answer. That Christ, the anointed one, may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, this next part, I could not connect it up for the longest time. Why does he say this here? That you being rooted and grounded in love. There's a connection between Christ dwelling in your heart by faith and you being rooted and grounded in love. You're not hardly going to believe where this... I'm praying, how many years have I assimilated and prayed this book? Don't even know. And of all things, I heard this statement. It's hard for me to say it. I heard this. He says, you just don't know the joy that Adam and Eve brought me before the fall. The love that the Father had and the joy that He had fellowshipping with them, enjoying them. But what I got from it is that's the same joy He wants with me. And that's the same joy that He wants with you. And He's done everything on His part to restore that relationship of pure sonship, Can I say daughtership? There's really no, you know what I mean? There's no male or female. Pure sonship that we bring him joy. All of a sudden, the old familiar verse has a lot more meaning to me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When he is full of joy because his son Gary woke up. And we get to have fellowship today. I want to bring him joy. That I might be rooted and grounded in this love of a father with his son. Remember when Dave taught us that verse that would get you kicked out of all the churches I grew up in? I got a message. What's your message? I had the same glory that Jesus had. We're throwing you out. Remember? John 17. Father, the glory that thou gave me, I have given them. Try to preach that in most churches. See what happens. But I didn't know what it meant. Dave said, that glory, that is sonship. He made it possible for his father to be your father. You are a child of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn of many brethren. And it's rooted and it's grounded in love. It started off with love with God and Adam and Eve in the garden. Love created them. God is love. Love created them for fellowship. And love has recreated us for fellowship. Oh my goodness. When I start thinking about that, there's waves of something I can't describe yet that goes through me. And it's beyond where I can speak. But it's a good thing. I know it's a good thing. That this love being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Now notice, which passes knowledge. Now to stop for just a moment. It passes knowledge. One of the statements he said through me last week, which again, this is previews of coming attractions. We are moving from knowledge to know. From knowledge to know. This love, it's way beyond book learning. It's way beyond the testimony of somebody else to you. What is eternal life? What did Jesus call eternal life? This is eternal life. Father, that they might know you and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This love passes knowledge. It's a heart thing. It's a spirit thing. It's, how do you describe love to somebody? How do I tell people about Sue and Gary? You know, marriage, I don't know if you know this, marriage is hard. Worth every moment. 45 years of trials and tests and then blessings and good things too. Why are you still, we tell these young people all the time, we could have been divorced 1,000 times. We could have. Any married, if they'd be honest, that's not uncommon. Okay? Why are you still together? Love. It's something beyond knowledge. It's beyond what you can learn. It's beyond teach. It's a heart thing. God is love. See? God is love. That we be rooted and grounded in that love. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, and something about knowing that love, see? Knowing that love. I mean, and knowing really him. Knowing Christ. Notice the end result of that. That you be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my God. There's a promise that I could be filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah, but you can't bypass love to get it. You can't. You can't bypass knowing Him. This helps me. The same author, Paul, in Philippians, his whole quest, that I might know Him. Remember? That I might know Him. Use the same word, that I might know Him. All of my pedigree, you know, Jew of the Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee of the law, so forth, I lay it all down for one thing. One thing. That I may know Him. Boy, that's my quest. No wonder, see, and that brings us full circle right around to the blueprint for 2020. If you were going to sum up that blueprint in one sentence, wouldn't it be, come away with me, my beloved? Wouldn't that be it? If you're going to sum up the whole thing, if you could only have one sentence, what is the instruction? Come away with me, my beloved. Then He fills it out with all those wonderful promises and all of those things. He said, I have things to teach you. I have things you don't understand. There's things I'll communicate with you. My presence, He promises, my presence will come in the building so strong people won't be able to stand or hardly even leave. But you got to come away with me. Come away with me, my beloved. Make this year a year of prayer like you've never had before. To say that to the prayer center? Most of our congregation, now see, I shouldn't probably say that. It's true anyway. Most people in our congregation praise more than most pastors worldwide. And yet He's saying to us, He's saying to that bunch, I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. Well, my goodness. That you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ. Boy, that word know, if you look it up, that word know is there's a lot of words in Greek for know. This one is the Greek word that a Jew at the time would have used if he's talking about, I'm going to know my wife. And we're adult class here in the biblical sense, you know what I mean? Well, that's more than knowing what they look like. Knowing what they like for breakfast, you know. I mean, that's the most intimate knowing. And it's the same word here, that we might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now notice, according to the, here's our word again, according to the power, how many want to take a guess what word that is? It is dunamis. It's that same dunamis that He starts off with in the first part of this prayer, because that's how He does it. That's how God does His work through us. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis that worketh in us. The problem is there has not been much dunamis working in the church. And that's why Paul is praying what he's praying. And it amazes me that it took this long for me to get it. He's praying that for born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, prophesying Christians, that God would strengthen them with might, dunamis, with by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in their inner man. Boy, I can't, every time I say that, Jude 20 just comes right up to me. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Pastor Dave. Thank God for Pastor Dave. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. What a prayer. Now, one of the statements that came out of my mouth last week, and I'd said it one time before, maturity, real maturity, is when you understand that your prayer is more important than anything you can do. And let me expound on that just a little bit. How do you want to do that? Okay? Because it goes right with this verse. It is according to the power that works in us. That power is dunamis. That dunamis comes from the Holy Spirit, not your spirit. Okay? Now, we're exhorted all through the New Testament, pray. Pray this and pray that. Paul says, pray for me that I be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Pray this and pray that and all kinds of prayer. And I usually, yes, okay, mentally I assent to that. But what's going on right now? Jesus said, God, I want to get into humility. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. We've read that. We've talked about that. We've heard that. We don't believe that. He was as much a human as you are. Now, that I know, don't be writing me no letters. I can preach it good, as good or better than you. That in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I know that. All things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Not one single thing. So forth. But Jesus of Nazareth, the man, he had the light of life in him that enabled him to live above sin for 30 years, even without the Holy Ghost. But you won't ever see him doing a miracle. Not until he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Let's say it another way. Not until the Father, strengthened him with might in his inner man by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is when that happened. Strengthened with might, dunamis power. That dunamis power never flowed from him into anybody before that day. Why? Because it was not in him. I know I want to get letters. That's okay. I got a round file cabinet perfect for him. You know. Now, he walked in that every day, but I got to tell you. See, I used to think he'd have, somebody said to me recently, I didn't really originate this, but they want to be anonymous. I used to think it too, though, that Jesus would have revival. And then he would go pray to the Father. And then he would have revival. And then he would go pray to the Father. That's really not true. He would go pray to the Father. Then he would have revival. Then he would go pray to the Father. And then he would have revival. Because I of my own self can do nothing. It is the Father in me. Now, okay. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Now, you're not going to like this, religion. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Well, why didn't he do the works before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost? Could it be the Father was not in him? See right there? Can't you see the letters coming? He was born again. He's the child of his Father. He's the Son made flesh. We know all that. But see, that's the day he was strengthened with might by the Father's Spirit in his inner man. He had the Father in him in a way he did not have the Father in him before. Now, even at 12 years old, he said, I must be about my Father's business. But he wasn't going around casting out devils and healing the sick. What he was doing right then was teaching. Okay? All right? Well, that's good. I'm a teacher. I believe in teaching the Word. It's okay. How about teach the Word and heal the sick? Jesus kept teaching the Word and healing the sick, didn't he, after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Let's do it all. Amen? So if Paul thought this was a good prayer to pray, don't you think it's a good prayer to pray for us? Join me in this prayer. I would bow my knee, but the camera wouldn't get me. I'm short enough already. I'm bowing on the inside. Father, for this cause, just say it after me. Father, for this cause, spiritually, I'm bowing my knee unto you. You are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Father, we collectively are praying that you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. That Christ, the Anointed One, may dwell in our heart by faith. That we are rooted and grounded in love. That we're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Father, that we be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Father, unto you that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to that dunamis power that works in us, we receive it by faith, Father. Unto you be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah.